Court will proceed to the sixth case, Ellis versus Sheehan. Mr. Flaxman.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Gloria Ellis is a correctional officer, and this case has nothing to do with the guidelines for Palladino. Miss Ellis is a correctional officer. She had a property interest in employment. She was accused of serious misconduct after a Loudermill hearing was suspended without pay. 633 days later, the Cook County Sheriff's Merit Board said, you should not be fired, you should be suspended for 60 days. And eventually she was put back to work. What's at issue in this case is the policy of the Sheriff of Cook County not to pay back pay to a correctional officer who's suspended pending a termination proceeding who was not terminated. Under the Sheriff's policy, Ms. Ellis's suspension would be extended for... Is there something wrong with the... I hear an echo. Is
that... It's our cooling system in place.
That always turns on during the sixth case to make go a little fast.
Well, Ms. Ellis would be suspended for 467 additional days. The sheriff says, well, this is my policy. If she agreed to a continuance, she can't get paid for it. There's no authority for this policy. It's not followed in any other correctional officer or tenured state employee who's suspended without pay. It's not followed by the sheriff when the correctional officer is returned by the merit board without any penalty. The sheriff says, well, if you don't like my policy, you should sue me in state court. And we say, that doesn't make any sense. There was a original pre-termination hearing, the Loudermill hearing, which allows you to be suspended without pay pending the full-blown hearing. You have the full-blown hearing. You're not fired, but you don't get your full remedy. You have to, according to the sheriff, bring a whole new action to get the process which is due and take another 5 years. That can't be right. That can't be what the Supreme Court meant in Loudermill.
Well, why not? If she gets it with interest, what's the problem?
Because the state court won't give it to her with interest. The state court, well, nobody knows what the state court will
do. Right, nobody knows, right.
And the state court, it's not a parrot problem because it's a established and authorized procedure. It's not random and unauthorized. This is their procedure. You have to...
That's true, but you don't want to bounce every argument, every issue over compensation into federal court under the Constitution.
But what belongs in federal court under the Constitution is the question of whether the state procedures comply...
Well, what's wrong with the... I don't understand what's wrong with the procedures. I understand you have a gripe about the... about the lack of interest in the suspension during continuances, but what's wrong with the procedures?
Well, what's wrong is that there is no procedure. There's the offer by the sheriff, take this deal and I'll give you some money. If you reject the deal, like Ms. Ellis has, she hasn't gotten any back pay at all.
But are you saying there are no procedures that are available to her?
There's no procedure that's part of the merit board post suspension of due process hearing. She could bring her 1983 action in state court. She could file an action for a breach of contract in state court. There's a lot of things the sheriff says she can do in state court that she can't do. She can't bring an action for unpaid wages because these aren't unpaid wages. She can bring, basically what you can do is bring this action in state court. And what this action seeks to do is to tell the sheriff that the procedures you're following don't provide due process. We're not really here to burden the federal court with...
I don't understand why she doesn't have an action under the wage payment statute. You call it frivolous. You're busy giving away your alternative remedies, but why isn't that a good claim?
The statute, by its language, talks about payment for work that's performed. She didn't perform any work.
Sure, no. But the point is, it's to create strong remedies if you have a wage entitlement. Now, you can have a wage entitlement based on your employment contract as opposed to a wage entitlement based on actually doing work. Right? What if you're not paid while you're on vacation? suppose you have a contract which says you're entitled to a month's vacation with pay. And at the end of that month, you come back to work and the employer says, oh, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to pay you for the vacation. Now, you'd have a claim under the Wage Payment Act, wouldn't you?
No, you'd have a claim under the contract.
Please. Well, that's completely wrong. That's ridiculous,
right? I'm not going to argue with Your Honor. What I will say, though, is that what Your Honor is proposing is that the post-deprivation hearing, which is the merit board hearing, is allowed to be supplemented by bringing a new case. That it's not that what you're saying is that Flaxman's argument that you have to have one quick, speedy, and efficient procedure after you suspend.
I don't know why it has to be speedy. It has to be adequate. It has to be fully compensatory. It has to provide interest. I know that has to be speedy.
Well, but there is no single unitary efficient procedure after you're suspended without pay to bring you back. The sheriff has not restored Ms. Ellis to her full seniority. He says, file a grievance under the collective bargaining agreement. Well, it's clearly settled law that the collective bargaining agreement is not an excuse, does not avoid the federal court's obligation to adjudicate 1983 claims.
But the implications of your argument is that every wage dispute involving employees of Cook County presents a federal constitutional question.
When there's a tenured employee who's not paid, it potentially does.
Troublesome.
That isn't what I meant to agree to.
I mean, it's
to.
One thing to say a person loses her job and so on, but she's been reinstated, and it's a question, what, you know, precisely are the rights when you're reinstated? If, you get interest?
If she did not get her remedy because of a random and unauthorized act, then she'd have Paragraph Taylor would say, go pursue what's available to you in state court. But she didn't get her back pay, her seniority, her interest because of the sheriff's policy, which is an established policy, which has been, according to the sheriff, approved by an unpublished
decision.
That's fine, decision.
But I don't think these disputes belong in federal court. I don't see what they have to do with the Constitution.
Well, I think that the Loudermill was based upon the theory that after you're suspended without pay, you could be made whole if you're not fired. And the sheriff says, I don't care what Loudermill says, go sue me again. Go bring another case. And if it takes 5 years and you don't get interest, that's not my problem.
No. Whether you get interest or not, that's an issue, right? You would argue you're entitled to interest in these state proceedings.
And the state proceeding would say no.
How do you know? You haven't tried them.
Actually, I have tried it, and I think we cited a decision where the Illinois Appellate Court said breach of contract and you lose your job, you don't get interest, period. Flat out, no interest. The trial judge had awarded interest, and the Appellate Court said no. I think it's cited in the brief. I believe the name.
Well, in that event, you haven't been deprived of a property right.
Well, you have because the
because if the law says that interest is not an entitlement, then the deprivation of the interest is not a deprivation of constitutional property.
But is it federal law? We're talking about your property and getting paid a full remedy.
No, that's state law. State law determines whether you have an entitlement to interest.
No.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd like to reserve the rest of my time if I have.
All right. Mr. Batch.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Gregory Vasey. I'm an assistant state's attorney for Cook County. I represent the sheriff of Cook County, who is the appellee in this case. Mr. Flaxman brought up raised several of the post-deprivation remedies that we believe, or our position is, that there was no showing that those post-deprivation remedies were inadequate in this case, and he really doesn't discuss it much in the reply brief, other than saying that the sheriff's office did not develop certain arguments. But I think it's incumbent upon the appellant in this case to show that these remedies are inadequate. But I would like to point out that within these procedures of the merit board, there is a pre-deprivation hearing that there is no has been no showing that though that that pre-deprivation hearing would not address these issues. The appellant points out in the brief that the specific enabling statute for the merit board's existence does not specifically say that they can discuss or rule on issues of back pay. But there has been no further showing. There has been no attempt that we know of, certainly not in this case, any attempt to have the merit board rule on this issue. And I cite a very similar case to this one, which is Burton versus Sheehan, which was in the district court. And the court, I think on page 10 of my brief, the court talked about how the merit board must have authority to award back pay if it finds that the plaintiff had been suspended without cause for some period of time, which makes sense that this body that is making this decision would have the right to fashion whatever remedy would be appropriate in the case. And again, we're in a situation where it is the appellant's duty or a burden to show that there is an inadequate remedy both pre-deprivation and post-deprivation, and I don't think that has been done in this case.
I don't know if it makes much difference here. Does this Merit Review Board have the authority to order back pay?
Your Honor, I can't answer that question. I don't think it's ever been approached. In this policy, there is no dispute as to this policy or the existence of the way the Sheriff's Office pays out back pay in these cases. It's never really been, to my knowledge, I don't know that any case or any individual who has been before the Merit Board has made an attempt to get a ruling from them.
That seems like that is a pretty important part of the procedure, and you'd surprised that there's nobody that you said that's
right.
No decision on whether the board has the authority to do that.
Not that I'm aware of. But again, until we know for sure, I suppose Ms. Ellis during that time could have asked the merit board, knowing counsel argues in his brief that this policy being not random and unauthorized, but being predictable and authorized, it's something that could have been raised in the merit board. And then had the merit board said, you know, we're not going to rule on this issue because we don't believe we're empowered to rule on this issue, then maybe that would create an issue as to whether there was any pre-deprivation due process. But I don't think we have that in this case.
What's the... Is there an appeal from the merit board to the circuit court?
Yes.
That the procedure here?
The procedure, as I understand it, you have your merit board hearing, you have 30 days within, or 35 days within which to petition for administrative review in the circuit court of Cook County. And once there's a ruling by the circuit court, you can appeal that ruling to the Illinois appellate court. And it's not, the Illinois appellate court would not be reviewing the circuit court's decision. It would be kind of a second bite at the apple. It's two levels of administrative review.
Is this a body that's in session at all the times in space?
The merit board, yes.
And in this case, it had gaps, substantial gaps on evidentiary hearing. Is there some reason for that?
I think it's just a scheduling conflicts that the people have. A merit board is comprised of about 11 or 12 hearing officers who have other jobs. It's actually not a full-time position, and they schedule these hearings.
How are people selected for this position?
The sheriff.
They come from within the sheriff's department, is that it?
No, they are appointed by the sheriff.
From outside his department?
Yes, that's my understanding.
This is Chicago, Judge Fong. Shouldn't be surprised.
I have nothing else, Your Honor, unless there's any questions. Thank you.
Mr. Flaxman? Do you have any insight into the gaps on the hearings here?
Things before the merit board go at a leisurely pace. The merit board consists of part-time appointments of people who are honored by the sheriff for past service or allegiance. They're paid $20,000 or $30,000 a year and get full county benefits, including pension and health benefits. It's a good job. There are decisions. There's at least one decision by the merit board saying we don't have authority to award back pay. And I'll be glad to supplement my brief with a copy of that. Mr. Vasey is mistaken. He's also mistaken about the scope of administrative review. If not de novo, it reviews what the merit board did, and the merit board's policy and practice is not to get into back pay, not to get into direction to the sheriff of how much seniority somebody should get.
We know that it's their policy not to get into back pay. Why again, Mr. Flaxman?
Because they say it's not in the statute, it's not our job, it's somebody else's job. If a court orders us to do it, we'll compute it, but we don't do it. The statute doesn't tell us to do it. The statute tells us sheriff files a complaint with us, and we adjudicate that complaint. We can fire somebody or say they should be suspended up to 180 days. That's all we do. We don't have any other authority.
So the issue has been squarely presented to them, and that's their response?
There's an order which was part of the record in the Burton case where the merit board said we don't have authority to award back pay. If I could just take 1 minute to come back to something that I think was missing from my responses before. This is a rhetorical question, if I may. Aside from burdening the federal court with every wage dispute involving a county employee, what is the principal basis, the reason, the rationale for saying you can't come to federal court, and excuse me if I raise my voice, you have to bring another action in state court? Are we saying you have to exhaust state remedies before you can bring a civil rights action? We can't be saying that. Are we saying there's a Parrott versus Taylor problem because this is a random and unauthorized act? We can't be saying that. All we can be saying is that we don't want the federal courts to be dealing with these cases, even if Congress had said, as we were reminded yesterday with the limiting of the Rooker-Feldman's doctrine, that when your federal rights are violated, the federal court should be there to provide a remedy for them. This case should be in federal court. This court and the district court should tell the sheriff that your procedure...
Well, what's the state-created entitlement of which your client has been deprived?
She's a property interest in continued employment as a correctional officer.
And with interest, do you think interest is part of that entitlement?
Well, the rule that I've read in this court's decision is that when you're deprived of a state-created right, interest is part of being made whole for that right. And I don't think that we're talking about state contract law. I think we're talking about federal law, that way federal law protects property rights and protects you from being deprived of the property right about due process.
But there's no deprivation of due process if she can enforce her state law entitlements in state court, whether it's on appeal from the merit board or whether it's a separate suit under Wage Payment Act or whether it's a mandamus proceeding. And the question is, have you actually shown that none of these routes are open to her?
But I think that your first premise was incorrect. Your first premise, assume that this is a Parrott situation, that there's no deprivation of due process if you have an adequate state remedy to remedy it. But Parrott, we know, doesn't apply in cases other than random and unauthorized acts. This is a policy of the sheriff. This is his practice.
We don't know whether it's a legal policy, right?
Sure we do. It's been admitted.
You think it's illegal.
Well, it's been...
Right? I think it's a violation of the Constitution.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And the state courts don't
have
any...
And is it clear that it's consistent with state law? He doesn't have the power to create state law and take away your entitlements of state employees, does he?
No, he doesn't, but the state court... The sole time the state court was asked to review this policy was in that unpublished order of the Illinois Appellate Court, which said, sure, this is fine. And the state courts, of course, are not the final word on what the Constitution means.
No, but there are two possibilities. One is that the state court has decided she doesn't have the entitlement you think she has. That would be fine. The other possibility is that you may have struck out in the merit board, you might strike out in the circuit court, but in fact, Sheehan is acting without authority, and that is random and unauthorized. Now, he's not authorized to interfere with these people's employment entitlements, and if you have state remedies against that, then I think you don't belong in federal court.
Well, but I think now you're getting back to the to narrowing. You're focusing on the question, is this a random? It's not random. It happens every time. Is it unauthorized? It's not unauthorized because...
But he doesn't have authority to change employees' legal entitlements. If he just arbitrarily says, you know, no back pay, and yet that's an entitlement, then, that's unauthorized.
I think when the meaning of unauthorized under that, he's the final decision maker for what back pay you get, and I think unauthorized...
But he's not the final decision maker to whether you're entitled to back pay, right?
I think this court or the district court would be on that issue. But I'm not sure if we're making progress or talking in circles or if I'm winning, which I'm sure I'm not winning. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Flaxman. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will stand in recess.